Our scripture for reading for today is from 2 Timothy chapter 2.
You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory.
This is the faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us also. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and the other guy, are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. I'd like to ask Jenny and Scott come forward. Let us pray together. Lord, we just pause here to pray for Scott and Jenny, these good folks of the Lord. Please come and be their shepherd now. Protect them, guard their minds, minister to their hearts and ours as well. We know you are their anchor. May they feel your rested assurance that they too are an anchor for your kingdom. Come fill their visions. Lift up their eyes to the beauty of your kingdom. Renew this hope in all of us. We would ask that you would fill their sails of their hearts with your goodness and eternal truth. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, we were told that there is only one wireless mic, and we were to turn these so they catch all of it. So what we're going to do is put them all here. You see on TV...
That's a little scary.
You see that on TV, the press conference? Ladies and gentlemen, this is a press conference because I have news. Good news. Why we're here today.
That's right. Amen.
Is it a little too much for you?
All right. Our oldest son, Max, is a soldier in the Army. He went through and still goes through a lot of training to learn how to be a good soldier. He has had to learn a lot about disciplining himself to allow, without question, to do exactly what his commanders tell him to do. It's been a valuable experience for him about self-discipline, working hard in the direction of others, and doing the right thing no matter how he feels about or what he thinks. Now, what do you think of when you think about being a soldier? What are the qualities a soldier needs to have? He needs to have strength. He needs to have courage. My favorite, integrity. He needs to follow through, and he needs to be a quick thinker. Today, we're going to talk about being a soldier in God's army. Not the kind of soldier who fights for his country, but the kind who fights for the God of the universe.
Amen. A soldier does need to be strong, self-disciplined, courageous, and all the other things Scott mentioned. But unlike the soldier fighting for his country, these qualities are not dependent on our own strength. We are asked to be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. We are asked to use his grace and strength to fight a different kind of fight.
Okay, now in verses 1 through 4 of 2 Timothy, we're told to be strong in grace and share in the suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When we have work for God, we must be ready to do it and strengthen ourselves for it through God's power working in us. Now, being strong in the grace of Jesus Christ will work for us even in our own weakness. Even in suffering and hardship, we can do the work God puts before us, and as our trials increase, we will grow stronger and stronger in our faith as we trust God. As we persevere, our faith grows stronger, our resolution stronger, and our love for God stronger.
In Ephesians 6:10, we are told to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. He tells us to put on the armor of his to do his work. He doesn't say to be strong in the power of Jenny or Scott or any of us in our own strength. He doesn't say put on the armor of the traditional army. We aren't gearing up in camo. We aren't using guns or knives or any of the traditional weaponry man uses in war. No, we are using the words of this book. This book is really awesome, wonderful book that he gave us. And the words that we have heard from that book, given to us by people who really knew Jesus, who had listened to him and learned from him. Yeah. And we have a message that we are to carry to teach others about the love of God, shared for all to bring salvation and everlasting life to anyone who will listen and accept.
But know this, each and every one of us should know this. The war that we are fighting is real. We're fighting against a powerful force, and it needs to be reckoned with. This book clearly states that Satan is living among us. We can see it every day in our lives and in the lives of others, that Satan is alive and working to keep people from knowing God. Just watch the news for a few minutes. You can see that he is causing great amounts of pain, suffering, division, and fighting over ideas all over the world. He is fighting a war too. Jesus won the ultimate battle of salvation on the cross for us. But the battle we fight is about giving people who don't believe this book the opportunity to know about him and his gift in a way that will make it real, desirable, bigger than the lies Satan has been telling them.
Back in Ephesians 6, the defensive tools that God gives us to fight our fight and be good soldiers for him are the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes to carry us out into the world to share the gospel with others, the shield of faith, and most important, the helmet of salvation. These tools are our strength, and they're what we use to fight the fight and be a good soldier for God. God has work for all of us. He has a plan for all of us. My work, Scott's work, your works, all done in different ways, using the fruits of the Spirit, our talents to do the work God has entrusted to us in a way that is pleasing to him. I know I can't do this work in my own power. Believe me, I've tried. I've been that person, the one who thinks she has all the answers, the one who thinks her way is better, the one who tries to do it all without the help of anyone else. That way it doesn't work. Like Scott said, there are great forces out in the world trying to destroy God's work in our lives. It is a huge tug of war with power on both sides. The thing is, God's power is so much bigger and better than the power the devil tries to use to ensnare us. But the power the devil has is our own inability to remember God's power when we are distressed, when we are too prideful, or when we listen to his lies. He knows all he has to do is whisper in our ear and wait for us to try to take care of business without asking or relying on God. That's when the problems start. We need to constantly, consistently be crying out to God, studying his way of doing things, and making sure we are fighting the battles put before us in a way that is pleasing to him and glorifying to him.
All right. Now, Ephesians 6 gives us the tools to use to defend ourselves out on the battlefield of life. In 2 Timothy, we're given examples of how to act while we are on the battlefield. Verse 4 states, "No one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer." As Jenny said, our aim is to fight this battle in a way that is pleasing to God. We are to behave as a chosen people who have been given the example of a perfect leader. Our officer is Jesus Christ. And when the devil whispers in your ear, you shake your head and you tell him, "I belong to Jesus Christ. Your power doesn't work here. I have no desire to listen to you or your lies." Then, you know what God says to the devil? As he said to Job, "Have you noticed my servant Scott? Jenny, Steve, Charles? Not today, son. This person I created is working for me."
In verses 8 to 13, we are told to remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, to save us. Everything we endure in our lives at the hand of the evil one while we are in our battles is for the sake of the lost, who need to hear what Jesus did for them and for us. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Jesus remains faithful to us no matter how human we act. No matter how many times we screw up, sometimes I screw up, no matter how many times we walk away or don't follow through or forget to do the work he gave us, he still loves us. He is constant and he is faithful. He knows our humanness doesn't mean we are denying him. Those verses are for those who have been given the choice of salvation and walked away from it. Those are the ones who have denied a relationship with Jesus. For you and I, he offers grace, undeserved favor, which means he forgives us when we ask and allows us more opportunities to learn how to serve him.
Now, in verse 14, we're told to avoid fighting over words. God says plainly that it does no good, but ruins those who are listening. I'm sure everyone here knows someone that's not going to church because it's full of hypocrites. You know what? They're right. They're exactly right. But that's why we're here. We are sinners saved by God's grace. We have human minds that tend to contradict ourselves and each other when we are being filled by our flesh and not allowing the Spirit access our minds.
That's why I'm in church.
We come to church to spend time in the truth with each other in a worshipful, loving family of people who aren't perfect, but are striving toward God's plan for us. To learn more about God's plan for us with a family of people who love him. This is what the early church was about, and it is necessary and helpful for us in today's world. If we are constantly arguing with each other, fighting over our ideas about how we should be doing things, we miss out on the important work that God has for us. We all have different stories, each one of us. We all began our faith journey with different ideas about who God is and what he means in the Bible. We all need to allow each other grace as we figure out what we're doing. We are a family, and we need to love and respect each other on this journey.
We are told to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly approved by him. God does not want to spend our time in profane chatter. I love that. He does not want us splitting hairs about rules and regulations, but rather focus on the saving grace found in Jesus Christ. We are to focus on the ruler, not the rules. If not, we risk losing the faith of some. People are more important than words. We need to stay focused on God's love for all people, not on the things they say or do. I've told a story about my dad before, but I think it bears repeating here. My dad was raised Catholic, and some Catholics believe that they can pray their loved ones into heaven. This goes against everything I've ever been taught about salvation. And when my dad was still alive, we argued about that a lot, about whether he could have prayed his dad into salvation. But see, he truly believed it. He believed it because he had been told that as a child, that that's what he needed to do. And when he was 15 years old and his dad died, that's what he did. And he had a vision or a dream one night that after he'd prayed for him, he saw his dad going up to heaven. So his whole life, he believed that. He believed that he prayed his dad into heaven. And when he told me that, I said, Dad, that's not true. That's not the way it works. And we argued back and forth about that for a longest time. And it really damaged our relationship for a while because he was proud. He was proud that he was able to do that for his dad. And he felt good about it. And one day I was telling a pastor about that. And he smiled and he looked at me and he said, Jenny, when you became a Christian, did you know, just immediately learn everything about the Bible? And I said, no, of course not. He said, well, did you believe you'd go to heaven even though you didn't know everything there was to know about the Bible? Yeah, I did. So, you know, that was a great wake-up moment for me. That's not what it's about, arguing with people about the things that they believe or that they think they understand. Pastor Ron puts it another way. He says when you're upset with someone, you need to think it over. You need to decide before you speak to them about it. Is it a salvation issue? Is it going to keep you out of heaven? Is it going to keep them out of heaven? Maybe you just need to be quiet. The Lord knows those who are His. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, turn away from wickedness. He has a plan for each person. If we let ourselves judge others by their words or actions, we may choose to not offer them salvation. This is not God's plan. If we share based on God's commands to us and not on our thoughts about other people and their actions, really great things can happen. I know this because pretty much every Thursday I go to the jail and I see people who are different than me trying to live their life and made really stupid mistakes. And if I judged those women, if I went in there and pointed my finger at them and I said, you're wrong and you've done stupid things and I treated them poorly and judged them, would they learn about Jesus Christ from me? No. So there's a good way to talk to people about Jesus, and judging them is not one of it.
All right, so verses 20 and 21. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. We are made special in God's love, each one of us. And He has a unique purpose for each of us. Spend time finding out His purpose for you. This is a much healthier activity than looking for things to argue about. I want to be one of the special utensils. I don't want to spend my life arguing on social media about things that are only going to create strife with another person. No one has ever changed my opinion about what I believe based on some generic quote from the internet.
That's because he couldn't say meme.
That too. Meme, whatever. But I want to spend my life encouraging others by my actions, words, and beliefs based on the way I live my life, not by harping on them about the differences in our way of looking at things.
We are told to run from anything that stimulates lust for ungodly things. Not just social media or TV or movies or whatever. Everything that takes our mind off of God and away from His plan for us is a lust used by the devil to fight a battle that he desperately wants to win. God asks us to pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. He tells us to spend time with others who love Him too. Not just doing His work, but regular time, recharging our souls with other people who love Him.
All right, in verses 23 through 26, God tells us to stay away from ignorant arguments that cause fights. He says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but instead be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. And I got to tell you, at times it can be hard for us to do. Not mentioning any names or anything.
Should I feel offended?
Thank you. All right, seriously, this is what it says in Ephesians 4, 14 to 15. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body and the church.
You know, it is a hard thing to do. So often Jenny gets in the way of the Spirit, and that's where the trouble starts. If only people would always do things the way I think they should be done, there'd be a lot less problems in my life. But that's not how it is. You know, I can easily argue with people when I should be keeping my mouth shut, especially that faceless person on the telephone. Maybe I should ask you to call the internet company next time. Or
internet. Not me. I'm not getting into that.
Anyways, God didn't tell us to be perfect. He didn't tell us we would always do everything perfectly. He just instructs us to strive to be like Jesus, who was perfect. And as we learn about Jesus and offer grace to the people around us, each day we will become more and more like him. But when we screw up, we need to be willing to offer ourselves grace too. We need to apologize, make amends, and move on. We are told to speak the truth with love. We are to gently instruct those who oppose the truth. But arguing doesn't get us anywhere. Believe me, I do know. He's had to show me that over and over and over and over and over again. I'm Irish Catholic and I like to argue, but it doesn't help. Maybe sometimes I'm starting to get that now.
Sure. All right, in closing, let's try to remember this as we go out. This whole chapter is about learning to fight this fight the way God would have us do it. Fight the good fight. In his power and with his strength. Our job is to share God's truth with others in a kind and gentle manner. Our job is to pray for and over people in the hope that they will allow God to change their hearts. That is when they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. This, my friends, is how we can be soldiers in God's army. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the chance to be here today. We thank you for this chance to be with fellow soldiers and to be in your army. We ask, Lord, that we go out this week with this in mind and that we lovingly and prayerfully talk to people and show them your love. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.